Gurudev, with a drop of mercy, make this servant of yours humbler than a blade of grass. Give me the strength to bear all trials and troubles, and free me from all desires for honor. O Lord and Master, please invest me with the power to honor all living beings properly. Only then will I sing the holy name in great ecstasy, free of offenses. O Lord and Master, when will such mercy fall to this weak and foolish devotee? Please make me your beloved servant. I examine myself, I will find nothing of value. Therefore, your mercy is essential to me. If you are not merciful, I shall simply weep and weep and shall not maintain my life. Om Agyanatmanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyamanobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Haiham Dadati Swapadantikam. So I was asked to say a little bit, I guess, about my direct experience with Prabhupada during his physical presence. One thing I noticed when I was with Prabhupada, I saw him, I can remember, the first time I saw him was in Buffalo, then after that I saw him in Boston. What's that? Microphone. The first time I saw him personally was in 1969 in Buffalo. He came in May. And then I saw him in New Vrindavan. I guess it was earlier than May. I saw him in May in New Vrindavan. Saw him in March in Buffalo, then May in New Vrindavan. Then in December in Boston. Then I saw him every year regularly. In Dallas, I saw him around 5 times, and maybe 7 or 8 times in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and then in Chicago and New York, and in India sometimes during the festival times. But my direct association with him, at least rather than just hearing classes from him, I think that was until 1974 or 75 when I was the temple president. In any case, one thing I noticed is that when I was with Prabhupada, Prabhupada always said exactly what he said in the books. There was hardly any surprises. But, I remember one time in Buffalo, I was standing there. We were waiting for Prabhupada to... We were actually not waiting for Prabhupada. We were waiting for Prabhupada's servants. We were going on an engagement in one of the universities. And this was in the morning. Prabhupada walked up to me and said, "How you doing?" So I said, "I'm doing all right." I was so much full of awe and reverence for Prabhupada at that time. And Prabhupada, I think, was trying to relax me a little bit. In any case, when I was in talking to him one time in Dallas, Texas, there was Satsarup Maharaj and myself. Satsarup Maharaj was the GBC for the area, and I was the temple president at that time of Austin, Texas. And it was a long conversation. I can't remember most of it. Unfortunately, at that time, most of the times I was with Prabhupada, we never had tape recorders. It was quite rare to have tape recorders at that time. And even if we had tape recorders, we probably were too spaced out to use them. But we didn't record it, unless it was a class. I think mostly in India they recorded classes. Prabhupada didn't have, or darshans, and sometimes when Prabhupada met with important people, but personal darshans with devotees weren't recorded so often. But Satsarup Maharaj and myself, we were talking mostly about practical things, which Prabhupada didn't usually get into so much in America. He left it more or less to the local leadership to deal with their problems. So when we presented some problems to Prabhupada, especially Satsarup Maharaj, he was acting as the temple president as well as the GBC for Dallas at that time. So he was more or less complaining about a number of devotees. So Prabhupada's response was, he said, "Devotee? Devotee means first class." If they're a devotee, then they're first class. So that ended our complaint session. And Prabhupada just started to talk about just his experiences in different places and different things. He said that they're so foolish that now instead of using butter, they're using margarine. But I have personal knowledge that sometimes the margarine, I guess the Germans in World War II, instead of making margarine from butter, or the margarine was made not from cows or from any synthetic chemical, he said they were sometimes making margarine from stool. So Prabhupada was... usually people don't like to hear things like that, but that's reality. Just like sometimes people make fun, a lot of times devotees make fun because there was a guideline by the Health and Welfare Ministry maybe 10 years ago that we shouldn't eat chocolate. And I guess those who like to eat chocolate didn't like the guideline very much. So the best way of counteracting the guideline is to just make fun of it. But little do they know, if you go on the internet, there are many varieties of chocolate. And sometimes in chocolate, they, in order to make it thicker, they use cow's blood. So one is actually taking a risk of eating non-vegetarian food when one is eating chocolate. It may taste good, but then for some people, cow's blood tastes good too. But to speak of other things that they also have. In any case, Prabhupada was quite practical. One time in Buffalo, I was sitting there for some hours with Prabhupada because Prabhupada would sit there and just give darshan. And I was a student at the university, but I didn't have classes in the morning. So I just sit there for hours with Prabhupada while he was talking to guests or he would talk to just another devotee and myself. And every once in a while, Prabhupada would pick up his bead bag and start chanting japa. And he said, if you have any spare time, then chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then Prabhupada would stop and start talking to us again and then pick up his beads and start chanting again. In 1974, I went to see Prabhupada in Los Angeles because every year we would travel from Texas. Either I was the temple president of Dallas or Houston or Austin. I revolved as temple president. 3 years I was temple president of Austin, but besides 2 years I revolved as president of Dallas and sometimes Houston. Actually, I think I was temple president of Dallas twice. Comes and goes. But we go and see Prabhupada every year. First in Los Angeles, I'd stop and see him, and then we'd travel and go and see Prabhupada during Rath Yatra in San Francisco. From Los Angeles. So I walked into the garden because I was a temple president. I was allowed to go for Prabhupada's darshans in the garden. And at that time there was only Karunda, who was the temple president of Los Angeles, and it was Prabhupada, Karunda, and myself in the garden. And Prabhupada looked at me and said, so how is our farm going in Dallas? Our previous temple president, and who was only there for a little while, he liked to exaggerate a little bit. So I guess he wrote to Prabhupada, we had a farm in Dallas. I was trying to figure out, we have a farm in Dallas? I was there a couple of days ago, I didn't notice any farm. Anyhow, it was a lot easier to impress Prabhupada by inventing things from imagination, I guess. So I was a little bewildered by it. And then Prabhupada, Karunda Prabhu, he interfered and more or less said that we were invited to go and see God at the airport. It seems that Guru Maharaji is this little boy whose name is Guru Maharaji. And he was coming to Los Angeles. He was flying in, and his devotees, his followers, came and invited us to go and greet God, because Guru Maharaji told his followers that the Hare Krishnas, they're my best devotees. So they came to invite us. The Prabhupada asked Karanganda, well, what did you tell them? And he said, well, it's not, we wouldn't go and see him. And Prabhupada said, yes, we should go there and kick him in the face with our boots on. So I was actually quite surprised how strong Brahma's was. Of course, he didn't really mean it, that we should go out in the airport and kick him with. Later on, of course, someone did take a pie, one of his followers took a pie, and when he was coming through the airport one time, he took the pie and shoved it into his face. So I guess that was someone's equivalent of kicking him in the face with boots on. Prabhupada's spiritual master had encouraged Prabhupada that part of our mission is to defeat these so-called incarnations, these false incarnations, like Pundraka, who had disguised himself as Vasudeva and was claiming. So Prabhupada took it as part of his mission in the Western world to expose these rascal incarnations. Then the topic turned to bringing people, this actually was in 72, bringing people to India. Prabhupada asked that 50 devotees from the West go to India, because at that time there are very few Western devotees in India, and even the Western devotees who are in India, they could only stay there for a couple of months, actually. Our first visas were for a month. So imagine, it was so expensive, it was so far to fly to India, and so expensive, and when you landed there, you could only be there for a month. But at the same time, Prabhupada was trying to develop his projects, beginning with, for instance, he was trying to get the land at Juhu and Vrindavan, etc. So he was asking that we, 50 devotees, especially who wanted the English devotees to go to, but he wanted 50 devotees from America, the best men, he said. So I was thinking, I was a temple president, I think I'm going to, I already had given some of my best men to another temple, and I said, there's hardly anyone left, the best men, but that's what Prabhupada asked for. Of course, not everyone could fulfill every request from Prabhupada. So he said, draw up a list of 50 men, and so we can ask them to go to India or America. And then it was getting a little dark. Prabhupada was talking to us, and he pointed up to the tree, and he said, oh, first of all, as soon as I got there, he said, are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the way Prabhupada spoke sometimes was quite direct. So he said, yes. And then 5 minutes later, he asked me again, are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So I was trying to think, why is Prabhupada keep on asking me the same question? So he said, yes. And then he asked me a third time, a little while later, are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So then I started to have some doubts that maybe I wasn't so convinced. Later on, I realized that our whole philosophy, our whole activities are just meant to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we were actually factually convinced that he was God, we wouldn't have any material concept of life anymore. That there is a barrier that stands between us and believing, being fully convinced that Krishna is God. And then Prabhupada, it was getting dark, so Prabhupada pointed up into the tree over where he was sitting and said, do you see that bird, he asked me. And I didn't have my glasses on, but that time I needed glasses. So I was trying to, well, I guess Prabhupada says it's a bird. There must be a bird in the tree. So he said, yes. So he said, that bird, he has no problem. He has his house, he has his food, he has his wife. Everything is there. Krishna is supplying everything for the bird. So why don't you think he'll supply everything for you? So I said, all right, yes, Prabhupada, I'm sure he'll supply. So whatever, Prabhupada, I noticed he would, his dealings were quite generally quite simple, his preaching. It wasn't great philosophy. As I mentioned before, I was sitting there and one darshan and one Indian gentleman was there. and this Indian gentleman was a Mayavadi, but he was very nice. He had invited some devotee to open up the temple in Buffalo, and so Rupanuga had come, and he gave a little bit support. I mean, there wasn't much to do in Buffalo in terms of support at that time. We were living in a railroad shack, a broken down railroad shack, which was, in Buffalo, it was quite austere living in a broken down railroad shack, especially in the winter. But anyhow, we were there. Was railroad, you know, trains, railroad, yeah. When the train comes by, someone sits in the house and tells it, you know, stops the cars from going by. So it was just, you know, a little tiny house for that person to live in. But it wasn't in use anymore, so it was broken down. And so the floor in the temple room went like this. It was just, it was like a basement floor, but on the first floor. It formed a basement. And obviously for the amount of rent we were paying, the landlord wasn't inclined to fix it either. So, yeah, so Lau had invited, his name was Dr. Lau, had invited Prabhupada to come, and Prabhupada was speaking to him. Actually, he was speaking to him in Rupanuga's apartment. Because Prabhupada was living in Rupanuga's apartment. Actually, Prabhupada came there, and he saw Rupanuga had Prabhupada live in his apartment because there's no other place to live. And Prabhupada said, actually, you should provide a new bed and new sheets and everything else. But anyhow, the spiritual master is very merciful. So Dr. Lal, Prabhupada said, he was trying to convince him that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, just like if you want to know who your mother is, or who your father is, you have to ask your mother. There's no other authority to know. So if you want to know who your father is, who the ultimate father is, you have to ask the Vedas. And the Vedas say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Dr. Lau, he couldn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. He says, I don't understand. So Prabhupada, usually, if someone said like that, would give him a completely different angle of the philosophy. But Prabhupada said, if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. That the mother is the only authority to find out who your father is. So if you want to know who the Supreme Father is, you have to ask the Vedas, and the Vedas say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dr. Lal said, I can't understand. Just think, wow, he's a doctor. I wonder if there's anything upstairs. I was looking at him, I was wondering, what is going on? So Prabhupada said, well, the Vedas, if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. The mother is the only authority to actually tell you who your father is. So finally, I mean, I understood Prabhupada's analogy. I was thinking, well, why doesn't he get it? So Prabhupada said, if you want to know who your Supreme Father is, then you have to find out from the Vedas, and the Vedas say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dr. Lau said, I can't understand what you're talking about. So Prabhupada said, he rang his bell and he said, can you bring some prasadam? So Purushottam came with a little prasadam for Dr. Lau. Prabhupada was very nice to him. Is this time? What's that? It's not me. Whose is it? Oh, maybe it's in my pocket? No. No, it's not me. It's this clock? It's trying to tell me. First time I heard it. So Prabhupada wasn't so much into psychology and trying to... He gave a very simple analogy. If someone could understand it, then he just repeated it. They still couldn't understand it. He repeated it. And then three times, they couldn't understand it. He just went on to something else, like giving them prasadam or chanting Hare Krishna. Dr. Lau, he said, Swamiji, because Prabhupada was known as Swamiji at that time, he said, I wrote an article for Bhakti Godhead, and it wasn't published. Bhakti Godhead was a very simple magazine back then. It was more or less, I think it was just the beginning to be printed. So Prabhupada rang his bell and said, this man has written an article for Bhakti Godhead, and it wasn't published. See that, why it wasn't published. I was thinking, well, I can tell you why it wasn't published. But I saw Prabhupada was so, I mean, at that time, I had very little experience of diplomacy, but I was learning from Prabhupada how to be a little diplomatic, because the article was never published. In any case, there was a lot to learn from associating with Prabhupada, how to deal practically with people. Thank you. So I guess we'll... Srila Prabhupada ki jai.